program about one of the industries of Western Michigan and the people who work in it. Through these programs, we hope our listeners may become better acquainted with Western Michigan at work. This evening, we visit the L.A. Darling Company of Bronson and Coldwater. Here's your guide, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good evening. A few days ago, I entered a room in Coldwater, Michigan, and saw arms, legs, torsos, and whole bodies by the dozen all over the place. Well, it was just a bit gruesome at first, even though I knew that they were made out of plaster, paper mache, and plastic. I was in one of the three factories operated by the L.A. Darling Company, the largest manufacturers of mannequins in the world. Later in the program, I want you to meet Mr. Russell Larson, who designs these mannequins. But before I bring him to our microphone, I want to tell you some other facts about this company. It had its beginnings back in 1904 in Coldwater. A metal worker named Vizzle more or less accidentally got to making stands for the display of millinery. A business known as the Ideal Fixture Company was organized and operated on a small scale. Then in 1912, this company moved to Bronson and took the name of the Vizzle Conover Company. In the middle 20s, the present name was adopted, and the business was expanded to include other kinds of metal display equipment. By 1929, the plant had 50,000 square feet of floor space, and it employed about 100 people. Today, the factory in Bronson has 100,000 square feet of floor space and employs almost 400 persons, and it has an annual payroll of upwards of $1 million. In making metal display equipment, a great many gray iron castings were required. In order to have available castings of uniform quality, the company purchased in 1938 a foundry in Coldwater. During the 10 years since this foundry was acquired, floor space has been increased from 8,000 to 40,000 square feet, and employees from 20 to 140, and payroll from $32,000 to $331,000 a year. The foundry, incidentally, not only makes castings for the plant at Bronson, but supplies many other firms with castings. In 1940, the company established a plastics division in Coldwater, primarily for the manufacture of mannequins and three-dimensional display forms. The expansion into this field was a natural one, for mannequins, of course, are only another means of displaying merchandise. Today, the plastics division has 45,000 square feet of floor space, employs over 200 workers, and has a payroll of close to $500,000. Well, let's take a look at each of these three divisions of the Darling Company. And suppose we start with the foundry. The most interesting part of this plant is the new precision casting process. Precision casting was developed during the late war when alloys, which could not be machined, were required for turbine blades of superchargers. The Darling Foundry is turning out a completely new kind of casting known as the refractory mold or precision casting. It's produced to dimensions of approximately plus or minus 2/1,000ths per inch and often requires no machining. These castings may be produced in steel, alloy steel, and refractory alloys. Loom shuttles produced only in Germany prior to the war and unobtainable by conventional methods are now being produced in the Coldwater plant by this method. Thinned sections, as thin as 2/100ths of an inch, have been cast in carbon steels. This revolutionary new development was described in an article covering several pages in a recent issue of the magazine Iron Age. A foundry, which started out as merely a feeder to the Bronson plant, looks well on the way to becoming a big business on its own. Right now, only 10% of its output goes to Darling. The other 90% goes to countless major customers throughout the country. The metal display division and general offices of the company are located in the city of Bronson. This plant turns out more than 6,000 different kinds of metal displays. Among these are sporting goods displayers, price cards and pedestals, ticket holders, mirrors, handkerchief display racks, racks for displaying automotive equipment, garment racks and costumers, window display racks, necktie stands, broom holders, wall brackets for tennis rackets, fish pole holders, kitchenware displayers, and so on and on. I took a trip through the Bronson plant and found men and women at work at all sorts of wondrous machines for shaping, plating, and assembling these displays. The company has one of the largest metal plating plants in Michigan. Most of the display racks have a chrome finish. In order to get this finish, the metal first has to be degreased, then ground and polished, after which successive coats of copper, nickel, and chrome are put on. Every part has to be held against a heavy rotating buff in the copper buffing process. The stock room where all these finished products are kept is a vast labyrinth in which shipping clerks are constantly circulating to obtain items to fill orders which go by freight, express, parcel post, and air freight. Darling maintains these three sales offices, one in New York, one in Chicago, and another in Los Angeles. Darling products also are sold through distributors throughout the nation. Among the large users of Darling displays are Sears Roebuck, Montgomery Ward, J.C. Penney, Kresge, Grant, the Newberry Company, G.C. Murphy, Butler Brothers, Gimbels and Macy's in New York, Chevrolet, International Harvester, A&PT Company, and so on. Of course, the most glamorous and distinctive end of the business is the making of mannequins. They are made mainly from papier-mâché. The heads, however, are often made of plaster composition and the hands of hard rubber. Arms, legs, and hands are detachable. A first-class mannequin costs about $140. Darling also makes the wigs for these mannequins. They are made from nylon, and the hairstyles, of course, always are the latest. It takes a girl about a half a day to make one wig, which may sell for $15 or $20. Most of these mannequins are women, although Darling also makes men and children, including babies from 6 months up. With me here in the studio this evening is a man who can tell you all about these mannequins, Mr. Russell Larson. Well, first off, Mr. Larson, please tell us how a mannequin is made.
As you intimated, Dr. Dunbar, the plastic division of the L.A. Darling Company manufactured many kinds of mannequins. Misses, junior miss, teenage, men's, prep boys, children's and babies. To be able to tell you a full story of how each type of Darling Center mannequin is made would take more time than is available. I will attempt to briefly summarize some of the important steps or processes in creating the most glamorous type, the Mrs. Mannequin. First, the pose designs are sketched and are used as a guide for the sculptor in sculpting the figure in clay. A two-piece plaster mold is made of the full-size clay model. It is then removed in a plaster cast. An exact duplicate of the clay original is made and removed from the two-piece shell. This plaster model is then dissected into various parts, such as the head and bust section, trunk and leg, and arm and hand portions. Production molds are made of each individual section, and then the mannequin parts are ready for duplication of lightweight, sturdy materials. These parts are assembled into a complete mannequin by simple interlocking fittings at the waist, arms, and wrist section, and the entire figure is painted, decorated, and a removable lifelike wig is slipped onto the skull. The Darling Style Center mannequin is then ready for shipment to any part of the world to aid the merchants in the proper merchandise presentation.
Well, that's quite a story. And now, how about the design? Tell us how you design these mannequins, Mr. Larson.
Designing a mannequin starts with fashion research. This is done about 1 year in advance of the production of the actual figure. We must be sure that these mannequins, when presented to the prospective buyers, have the ideal proportional form, grace and pose, fashionable decoration, and hairstyles that are and will be considered smart for a reasonable period of time. For in this ever-changing fashion world today, the Darling Style Center mannequin must display with perfection the apparel creations which will adorn these glamorous, silent sales ladies. After the research, pose sketches, wig styling, and decoration ideas are completed. These mannequin designs will act as a guide in the sculpturing, decorating, wig making, and general production of the figures.
Well, now, Mr. Larson, the shape and makeup of the human body doesn't change. Why do you change the designs of these mannequins with the changing fashions?
Well, we must change our mannequin designs to fit each new fashion silhouette to enable these new fashion trends to be displayed advantageously. For example, a few years back, the square military shoulder with a slim figure was the fashion. At that time, our mannequins had exaggerated square shoulders and a long, slim body. Today, however, our mannequins have just the reverse proportions. They have sloping, rounded shoulders, high bust line, slim waist, and rounded, molded hips. As this new look changed, is the dictated fashion silhouette of today.
Hmm. Well, now, do you make both blondes and brunettes?
Yes. We have both blondes and brunettes. The customer has a choice of numerous shade types from which to make a selection. He may purchase several different colored wigs, in fact, for the same mannequin, as the wigs are removable and interchangeable.
Well, now, how about hairdos?
Our hairdos, the crown and glory of our mannequins, are made of nylon or rayon strands, which, when formed and set, resemble with lifelike similarity the sheen, color, and softness of natural hair. These well-constructed wigs, when handled with average care, should remain in good condition for about 3 years and will give the Darling Style Center mannequins a continued well-groomed appearance.
Well, I declare. Thank you very much, Mr. Larson, for telling us this fascinating story of mannequins. With the Christmas season just a few weeks ahead, you might be interested in the special displays that Darling has for your Christmas gift store. Here's a dainty little deer with an 8-inch glass shelf on his back. Over there is a novel cone-shaped Santa with a 12-inch round glass shelf on which a small gift item may be shown. And here are those little gnomes holding glass plates to get gift items up where the customer can see them. And here are three of the cutest little carolers you ever saw to be used in showcases, on ledges, or in miniature scenes. There are plastic Christmas trees and Santa masks in a variety of shapes and sizes. Well, this then is a large industry, which started from a milliner's hat rack and has developed into three large plants which afford employment for more than 800 people in Branch County. The products which they make go to all parts of the United States and many foreign countries. Seeking a better source of raw materials, gray iron castings, the company has evolved a new process of casting, which has opened up a brand new field. And on the other side, by going into the production of mannequins, it has enlarged the scope of its product so that just about anything in the way of display equipment can be turned out. Well, that's the story of the L.A. Darling Company of Brunson and Coldwater. Next week, we will bring you the story of the Muir Drug Company.
You've been listening to another program in the series Western Michigan at Work, presented in the public interest by radio station WKZO each Tuesday evening at this time.